Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Off the job for less than a day.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Yesterday's auto workers' strike against Chrysler was over in just 6 hours. There are reports the two sides had a tentative deal after the first hour of the walkout. Was it for show? And more importantly, did the union get what it wanted? Let's bring in Katie Merks. She covers the auto industry for the Detroit Free Press. Katie, did Chrysler workers get a deal similar to the union's agreement with GM?
It sounds like it. The General Motors deal included a detailed list of product plans and opportunities for 55 of their 82 U.S. facilities for the next several years. And people that I've talked to about the Chrysler deal believe they may have gotten a similar type of commitment, which can make people see that while they've given up benefits that they've had in the form that they've had them up until now, that there at least will be a job for them.
From here, we move on to Ford Motor. What are the expectations there?
At this point, nobody's sure what to expect. Ford is in an even tougher place than Chrysler and General Motors appear to be right now, and have been saying that they need some extra help from the union. They also just hired Alan Mulally from Boeing and paid him a whopping sum, which has irritated some of the rank-and-file members of the union.
Katie Merck covers the auto industry for the Detroit Free Press. Hey, Katie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Wall Street was haunted yesterday by several warnings of weak earnings. Add some disappointment about delays in a key Boeing jetliner program, and much of the stock market was lower. The Dow and the S&P slipped from record highs. The Dow down 85 to 14,078. The S&P gave back more than 2 points, but the NASDAQ picked up 7 to 28.11. Overnight in Asia, stocks were higher. There were record finishes in Hong Kong, China, Australia, South Korea, and Singapore. And right now in Europe, the major markets are moving up. Oil giant BP is expected to announce a management restructuring this morning. The move is a bid to regain investor confidence after a series of accidents. Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports.
First, there were the highly publicized oil spills in Alaska, then a fatal explosion at a Texas refinery. Throw in serious production delays, and Tony Hayward's new job as the head of BP isn't exactly pressure-free.
He has to deliver.
Fadel Gate is an oil analyst for Oppenheimer & Company.
Not only has to deliver, he has to deliver big results and soon.
Gates says BP's fall from grace comes down to one simple thing, inefficiency. But he says that's about to change.
They're going to be paying more attention to operating excellence. And this is basically what really separated BP from the likes of Shell and Exxon.
Analysts say the changes should save BP money, but the oil giant hasn't set any specific targets. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
There have been rumors for months about pop star Madonna leaving Warner Brothers Records. This morning, there are reports the Material Girls got a deal with concert promotion giant Live Nation for 10 years and $120 million. Madonna will step outside the traditional label system to continue making recordings.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series shedding light on heart disease through the stories of people from around the world, premiering on PBS in October. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Yesterday, our reporter Steve Henn told us the story of Bill Allen. The Alaskan businessman pleaded guilty this year to illegally funneling corporate money into federal political campaigns and bribing state legislators. Today, Steve reports that before his guilty pleas, Allen and Alaska's powerful Senator Ted Stevens formed a political partnership to try to influence elections across the country.
Bill Allen was a big bundler for the Republican Party. His money reached dozens of candidates. This spring, Allen pleaded guilty to federal corruption charges and admitted to illegally funneling corporate contributions into federal campaigns.
When you go and shake the money tree, as hard as these candidates are shaking it, you're going to have some bad apples fall down as well.
Meredith McGehee is at the Campaign Legal Center. For years, Allen focused his donations on Senate appropriators, and his company, called Vico, benefited from hundreds of millions of dollars in federal contracts.
Any average American just would shake their head and say, yeah, that's the way they do things in Washington.
But in the summer of 2002, Allen began to branch out. Within a few months, about $70,000 from Alaskan donors poured into the campaigns of seven Republican Senate challengers. Most came directly from Vico executives. These gifts closely mirrored cash gifts from Senator Stevens' leadership PAC. Ken Boehm is chairman of the Conservative National Legal and Policy Center.
The closer you look, you really see a small circle of very powerful elected officials surrounded by a small circle of political givers who appear to have very heavy legislative interests.
Two of those givers, including Bill Allen, pleaded guilty this year to making illegal donations. Two others fit the descriptions of unnamed co-conspirators in Allen's own guilty plea. The Senate campaign funds of Norm Coleman of Minnesota and John Sununu of New Hampshire both got bundles from these donors totaling about $10,000 each. Meredith McGehee.
But they have to make clear there is not at this point any legal requirement that any of these donations be returned. There is a perception issue definitely at play here that when you take tainted money, you are in fact then tainted by it.
Working in concert, Ted Stevens, Bill Allen, and Vico executives used half a dozen political committees to raise about $25,000 for Coleman's 2002 campaign and $50,000 for Sununu's. Both Coleman and Sununu are running for re-election this year. Sununu announced last week he'd donate $2,000 received from convicted Vico employees to charity. Coleman's campaign staff say the money's been spent and the account is closed. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
To check out our other stories on Bill Allen or to get a breakdown of the bundled contributions to John Sununu, go to our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.